So this morning I want to talk to you about yielding to the Holy Spirit's flame. Keeping the fire alive. How do we do it, Pastor? I want to keep the fire of God alive in my life. What was the upper room formula? If you want to say it like that. Well, it was waiting, it was yielding, and it was burning. Hallelujah. The fire of God fell on those 120. The Holy Spirit came like tongues of fire. Touched the people. Fire. Wind. Mighty rushing wind. People's lives were changed forever. Forever. You say, that sounds too good to be true. Well, the day the Holy Spirit filled me, I changed forever. There's no turning back. When you yield, you ignite Pentecost in your life. Pentecost is birthed in tarrying. And it's sustained by yielding to God. Luke 24 verse 49, the Bible says, tarry until you are endued with power. Wait until you have power. Acts 2 verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Quick question, who is the all he's referring to? Because he's not referring to the 500. He's only referring to the 120 that remained and tarried. Not all were filled because they were not all willing to tarry. They were not all willing to yield. Today we don't need to wait 10 days in an upper room, but we are called in 2026 in Kimberley. As a Christian, as a believer, you're called to take time out and to tarry and to yield to the Holy Ghost. You know, the yield sign is a, when you drive your car, yield doesn't mean you have to stop completely. Sometimes you just have to proceed with caution. Look around. Ask Holy Spirit, are you with me? Are we still going on the right path here, or should we change direction? That's yielding. Sensitive. The Holy Spirit doesn't fall into our program, we fall into His plan. We know the Holy Spirit is omniscient. He's all-knowing. How encouraging is that this morning? That the Holy Spirit, He knows everything. He knows everything about the person next to you. You can look at them and say, there's stuff I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit knows about you. He's all-knowing. He knows what the future holds. So the Bible says, my favorite scripture, I quote it often, eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has in store. God knows the future. But the Bible says, but he reveals it to us by His Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit is beyond time. It's beyond our five senses. The Holy Spirit knows everything. You want to be friends with the Holy Spirit. Jy wil weet wie is die Heilige Gees in jou lewe. You want to walk with the Holy Ghost. He is all knowing. I can stop now and that's enough. He is all knowing. He's part of the divinity. He's part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If I can have a friend who's all knowing, guess what? I would be best friends with him. I've got some clever friends. One of my friends is a professor at the university. He's a very clever friend. When I have a big problem to solve, especially with maths or counting, I'll phone him. Because he's not all-knowing, but he's very knowing. he's slim. He's clever. It's good to have clever friends in your life. If you're a young person and you're struggling with a subject, go and find the clever person in the room. Now you have the Holy Spirit. He's not just clever. He's all-knowing. How awesome is that? He doesn't only know your future. He knows the future of other people around you. That is a powerful statement this morning. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's here today. He's omnipotent, which means He's all-powerful. All powerful means there's nothing stronger There's nothing greater. There may be spirits of temptation. There may be a demonic spirit there. There may be a spirit of fear over there. But I want you to know, God is the all-powerful Holy Spirit. There's no spirit that can compare to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to ever in your life be intimidated or submitted to something, because the Holy Spirit is always bigger. He's always greater. He is all-powerful. The Holy Spirit is all powerful. And thank God, Jesus said, I'm going to my Father and He will send the promise. What was the promise? He would pour out His Spirit. We need people that are full of the Holy Spirit, full of His power, full of His knowledge, full of His presence. And we all know it starts with a new birth. You have to be regenerated. You must be born again. Titus 3 verse 5. We are born again not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit plays a significant role in your salvation, in being born again, the regeneration, the new birth. That's the Holy Spirit. He's everywhere. He's working the whole time, nonstop. He gives us assurance of salvation. When I ask you every Sunday, do you know that if you die, you'll go to heaven? You say, yes, I have a witness. That's the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's a guarantee. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, He's a guarantee. He's a guarantee of heaven. The Holy Spirit is a deposit. When you want to go somewhere, they say you can't go until you pay a deposit, pay a lay-by. The Holy Spirit is a deposit of heaven already inside of you. I know I'm heaven bound because I already have a deposit of heaven inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the fire of God. I don't only speak in English or in Afrikaans. I speak in the heavenly language. What are you saying, Pastor? I've got a deposit of heaven. It's real. This is not a fake dead religion. Jesus is inside of me through His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! His power is still alive. The difference is you just need to be plugged in and switched on. The lights are not on in the city. As the church needs the power on. You can buy the most beautiful appliances from the stores, but if there's no plug or electricity flowing through it, it's just going to be nice. That's what religion is. It's got this promise. It has a form of godliness. It looks okay, but it denies the power thereof. When you want to flip on the switch, say, no. Don't talk about the Holy Spirit. No. You have a form of godliness, but you deny, you stop, you hinder the power thereof. That's what Jesus said. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You want to say, I don't want to deny the power of God in my life. If the manufacturer made a kettle, and there's some very nice kettles, they get very nice cell phones. But if that thing is not plugged into the power, the battery's going to die. If the battery's disconnected, you can have the greatest cell phone, you can have the greatest technology, it ain't going to work. Because you need to be plugged into the source. You need to be plugged into the power, which is the Holy Ghost. I'm talking this morning because we should never be uncomfortable when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Some people, you talk about the Holy Spirit and they're like, oh, no, you know. And they limit the Holy Spirit to one young Christian who was a zealot, who was running through the street praying in tongues. So the Holy Spirit brings, He illuminates our spirits, He illuminates the Word of God, because He's the author of the Scriptures. When you read the Bible, He illuminates it. It brings that written Word, which is called Logos, all of a sudden translates. The Holy Spirit shines His torch on it, speaks. It's the living Word, the living Word. It's not dead. You think you're reading the Bible's reading you. And the Holy Spirit is busy illuminating your spirit. There's things you haven't seen yet. Flesh and blood can't reveal it to you. A teacher, a lecturer. But the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you in the scriptures. It will tell you what you need to do. The Holy Spirit will make the Bible come alive. You won't put the Bible down. It's like God is busy speaking to you. The Holy Spirit, He's the author of the Bible. Yeah, we give credit to the flesh box that wrote it. But the Bible says clearly. It speaks clearly in 2 Timothy, 2 Peter 1 verse 21. The prophets did not think these things up on their own, but they were guided by the Spirit of God. New King James says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The prophetic word, the Old Testament. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. That Bible that you have in your house, on your app, on your phone, it's God-breathed. It's the Holy Spirit that breathed into these men. And they were moved by inspiration and they wrote it down. And God in His wisdom knew how to canonize the Bible and put it together for you and for me to read it today. And the Holy Spirit brings it to life. He brings a sermon to life. He brings the song to life. He brings us to life. And we know it starts with a new birth, but we have to keep the fire alive. We have to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We all want the fire, but ask yourself, who gives the fire? The Holy Spirit. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. You know, imagine how sad it is if I just want kids. Oh yeah, and by the way, I suppose I better get a wife as well, eh? But I'm really after the kids. That's wrong. I want a wife, and out of our relationship, there is children as a fruit. We yield fruit, children. We are blessed through our kids. Through your relationship and acknowledgement with the Holy Ghost, you keep the fire alive in your heart. Give me the fire, give me the fire. Get to know the Holy Ghost. Acknowledge the Holy Ghost. God, give me money. Just acknowledge Him as your Father first. Our kids do that. Dad, I want a voucher at one of those Cotton-On places, clothing shops. Okay, just come sit here first with your dad. Spend some time with your dad. You get his heart, you'll get his hand. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. May you have fellowship. Fellowship with who? The Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son is in heaven. On this earth we have the Holy Spirit. When last did you take time out and have fellowship with the Holy Ghost? You know, when you're reading your Bible in the quiet time, in your morning devotion or in the evening, say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Thank you. We thank you for this fellowship. Speak to me through your word. You know, we need fellowship. Fellowship is relationship. Getting to know the Holy Spirit and the scriptures. Recognizing the Holy Spirit's role in uniting me, empowering me, empowering the church, keeping the fire alive. Fellowship is a Greek word called koinonia. I hope I said that right. Koinonia, which is fellowship and communion. Fellowship, friendship. The Bible says, have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God is here. Communion with God, the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. We forget He has knowledge. We forget He has a will. We forget He has a mind. We forget He has love. We forget He has intelligence. We forget you can grieve the Holy Ghost. We forget that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That we are close. That there's a closeness that He dwells inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? You carry something very precious. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you. Remember in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit could only fall upon certain people, but in the New Covenant, through the blood of Jesus, He made a way. Now God doesn't just pour out His Spirit on certain individuals. He pours out His Spirit on anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord. You can be a temple of the Holy Ghost. You can be a carrier of God's presence. You can carry the fire and the anointing that you need for your life and your career on the sports field, on the battleground, in the business world, in the political arena, in the sport arena, in the music arena, whatever sector or career that you've chosen, that you know God has called you into. You are not just going in there as a flesh box, relying on your IQ, relying on who you know and what you know. No, you are carrying the presence of God like they did in the Old Testament. They carried the tabernacle with fear and with reverence. They knew what they were carrying. They're carrying God. The Holy Spirit is part of God. He's the Godhead. Do you not know what spirit you are? Do you not know that you are the temple? That's what he was saying. Don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? We shouldn't only fear to come into the house of God. No, you should carry with reverence. Pastor, should a Christian swear? Should a Christian do this and this and this? Listen, ask yourself, what are you carrying? You're carrying the presence of God. Think about it. What's inside of you? You are a carrier of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know the world is designed to steal your appetite for God. It's a beautiful parallel in the Old Testament. Zerubbabel in the book of Haggai. Zerubbabel came back and his number one assignment, led by the Holy Ghost, to rebuild the temple. They rebuilt the house. After they built the house, years later, Ezra the high priest came and he brought revelation. He brought the Bible, because the one was meant to build the building, but the other one was meant to build the people. Hallelujah. Jesus came to save us, but the Holy Spirit came to build the people. Comes to build you. Take the Word of God and build your faith. Keep the fire alive. Put the wood on the fire. Keep your fire alive. Breathe on it. When you make a fire, some of you ladies maybe have never made a fire. The brothers have to, always. There's a braai. But most ladies have as well. I'm not trying to say you haven't, but whoever you are, make a fire and watch. Learn from it. You need oxygen. You need a spark. You need wood. You need fuel. And then you have to keep the fire alive. I've shared with you in the past, at one stage in the history of Israel, there was a fire that they had in the temple that was, there was almost 120 plus years. The fire never went out. 120 years, if not longer, I can't remember exactly, but well over 100 years. They had to keep on keeping that fire alive. It's a picture of us. You have to keep the fire alive in you. Get the ash out, keep the fire alive with the Word of God. You can't just live on yesterday's wood, yesterday's manna, last year's revelation. That ash is choking up the fire and the ability to breathe. You need to blow out the ash. You need to make a new fire, a fresh fire. And we get this by yielding and having fellowship with the Holy Ghost as you read and meditate on the Word of God. Because God builds the house, but then He builds the people. We've built this beautiful house, and then God builds the people. Amen. The Holy Spirit searches. He searches all things. The deep things of God. You have to know Him. You have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. If I ignore this usher who came up here, he's going to go. You can go. Be safe. It just came up. Many times the Holy Spirit is like that. While you're busy even preaching, while you're busy living, you're studying, you're working. Come back, Holy Spirit, please. I'm sorry that I've grieved you, that I've quenched you. Come back. Come back. I'm sorry I've been so busy. I'm sorry I didn't acknowledge you. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Parakletos, side helper. He's not in the front, he's not in the back, he's side. Para means next to. The parakletos, a Greek word for the Holy Spirit. My side helper. No, not my sidekick, he's my side helper. He's my friend, and I reverence him, and I welcome him in my life. Wherever we go, this is a beautiful partnership as a believer. You're a businessman. You want to have the greatest partner you can have. Your best business partner is the Holy Spirit. He's all-knowing. He knows how the enemy is going to try and set you up in that contract. So he'll lead you. He'll take you away from certain things. And he'll lead you to where the prophet is, the Bible says. He'll lead you where favor is. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. The Holy Ghost is your side helper. He's here. He's ever present. He's omnipresent. But if I ignore him, I have the greatest helper. And I don't have time for him now. Sorry. I don't have fellowship with him. I haven't yielded to him. I don't make time for him. I just, whatever. I'm so busy. Pastor, you don't know my diary. You don't know how busy I am. I can't even get to church. I'm so busy. I'm struggling with finances. I don't even have time to invoice my clients. I'm so busy. That's the devil. If he can't pause you and stop you or halt you in your tracks, he will ride you and make you so busy that you don't have time for nothing. While others are chasing these things, while you are resting in God's house on a Sunday, while you're in his presence, God is busy working right now. I want you to know that you never have to sit in the house of God and feel like you're missing out on an opportunity, on a deal, people are practicing sport and you're missing out. No, you're in the house of God. Let me tell you something. You're not wasting. You are sowing into the Spirit. You are yielding. You are saying, God, you are source. You are my source. I'm resting so you can go into my future. You can go and prepare this week. When Monday comes, I'm anointed. I have the Holy Ghost. I've acknowledged him in my life. I've honored the Lord. I say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome. Amen. You've been a lot of pictures in this church, eh? The Holy Ghost is the Parakletos. Acknowledge him. Your wife can be many times an example of the Holy Spirit, a guide, but she can never take the Holy Spirit's true role. You still need the Holy Spirit. No, Pastor, my wife is my Holy Spirit. No. You need to get, your wife needs the Holy Spirit and you need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, the Holy Spirit is with you. I acknowledge him. I fellowship with him. I yield to the Holy Ghost. That's why when I face a battle, I have the Holy Spirit with me. Because he is all-knowing. Guess what happens? He's my partner. I'm all-knowing. The Bible says we have an anointing on the inside of us. Therefore, we know all things. 1 John. I know all things. I might not know now, but in the moment, if I need an answer, the Bible says don't even prepare for the words. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words to say. You have the greatest ally with you. Come on, CRC. Don't be embarrassed. Don't let the religious, cold Christians put your fire out. You be bold. You pray in tongues. Oh, Rabba, Satala Rabba. You be a Christian who's on fire. And the results will be there. Your fruit will silence the critics. Thank you. We love you, Marcus. So how do we keep the fire alive? We acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We have fellowship with Him. We have communion with the Holy Ghost. We get to know Him. You know, the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10, He searches all things, even the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit prays. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit prays. Romans 8, 26. When we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit prays with us, in us. The Holy Spirit and God speaks into our ears so He can touch our hearts. The Holy Spirit's a teacher. He will teach you. He'll guide you. John 14, 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit speaks. That's why you can say, I really felt this morning, the Holy Spirit told me something. Now don't be weird and stand up and say, God said. Be careful of that. We have too many people that say that. God said it's not going to rain today. 3 minutes later, a storm breaks out and you look like a fool. We don't need those Christians. Be humble, okay? You don't have to impress anybody. The Holy Spirit speaks so we all can hear the Holy Spirit. He's not going to talk to you about other stuff. He's going to talk to you about you. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell you, "Ooh, the pastor should be preaching this. He's preaching the wrong sermon." No, He's going to speak to you about you and your life and about your battles and about your bills that you have to pay and about your bad attitude you have towards your wife. He's going to talk to you about you. And as you're faithful and as you grow and you mature as a Christian and you yield a bit more and you yield a little bit more and you yield a little bit more, He'll start to trust you with bigger things, deeper things, like He says. You'll become a friend of God. He'll start sharing with you His secrets. He'll start sharing with you things that are troubling God. And you'll be a friend of the Lord because you reverence the Lord. The friendship with the Lord is reserved to those who fear God. Not just casually come in, but you yield and you have fellowship and you get to know Him and you keep the fire alive in your spirit. When there's a prayer meeting, you're there. When there's church, you're there. The Holy Spirit speaks. John 16, 13, the Spirit of truth has come. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Oh, there's a big difference between a seeker-sensitive place and where the Holy Spirit is working. We have to acknowledge Him. People are so sensitive to people that they deaf to the Holy Spirit. We should be the other way around. We should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and deaf to the opinions of man. Because Jesus said, I've come to start a fire. How I wish the flame was already burning. He said, I've come to disrupt. I've not come to comfort. The Holy Spirit will take you on a journey that you don't want to go. He'll lead you. Say, come on, man, we're going to... And you're like, no, sure. But He'll lead you. And He's a gentleman. He will not possess you. That's Satan's personality. There are people who are demon possessed. He overrides their will, their choice. He's not a gentleman. But the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's a dove. If you give permission, He will come in. Bible says, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. You have to be the one who's persuaded to say, yes, Holy Spirit, I'm going to yield. I'm going to do it. I believe in Your word. I trust You. Thank You. Pray through me today. Use me today. Something new for some of you. Some of you have to slowly start trusting and yielding and submitting to the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Because you're so full of fear and you're so in control and you're the captain of your ship. You have to let Jesus sometimes take the wheel. And there's some beautiful examples of this in the Bible of people who yielded to the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost is present, the atmosphere changes. Some beautiful examples in the Bible of Christians, believers, who, based on their maturity and their yieldedness, who would walk with God, see mighty victories for the kingdom of God. So to keep the fire alive, we have to yield to the Holy Ghost, acknowledge Him, have fellowship with Him, but yield. Romans 8:14, for all who are led, all who are yielded by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. To yield is to be led. It's not to be in control. To yield means to obey, to give way, to surrender, to stop resisting. The first time you stopped resisting the Holy Ghost was when you were in a church like this and you knew you weren't saved. You were dealing with the reality of eternity. You were dealing with the reality that, and the truth that I am a sinner. I have to do something with my sin. What can I do? And you were wrestling. But there came a time where you realized, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to know God. There's a purpose for my life. God wants to love me. I'm sick and tired of being empty and being depressed experiencing sin in my life. It's emptiness which promises to please but only is there to ensnare. So you dealt with this wrestle, and finally, hallelujah, the day you surrendered to Jesus, you yielded. I said, okay, I need a savior. I deny myself, I take up my cross, and I follow Him. Now God can work in your life because you gave Him access. And the Holy Spirit came, regenerated your spirit, flipped the switch, and the power of God came. You yielded. Now we have to constantly keep the fire alive, filled with the Holy Spirit. You were wrestling with water baptism. Yeah, but I don't know what my dad will think. And my grandfather, he'll turn in his grave. And some people have already told me, be careful of this water baptism thing. And you just all of a sudden you have a fear of water, but the Holy Spirit through scriptures is busy teaching you. Eventually you came to a point of yieldedness. You got baptized. You're now being led by the Holy Ghost. Then tongues came in, and then it was a real challenge for your mind. But you made a decision. I'm either going to move forward or I'm going to stay right here for the rest of my life. And you said, I'm not going to die in the desert. God wants me to move forward. And what did you do? You decided to yield to the Holy Ghost. Lord, this might sound crazy, but baptize me with your Holy Spirit. I want to also pray in tongues. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You yielded. You yielded your finances. You learned to trust God with your finances. Some people trust in the economies. Some people, their trust is in their boss, in the rand. But we trust in the Lord. So we healed. The Holy Ghost taught us about finances and obeying God. We yielded. The Holy Ghost shows us ways to bring increase. The power of partnering, building pledge, paying off the debt of the church, seeking the kingdom of God first, and all these other things shall be added to you. While the world chases the stuff God can give to you in your rest, but the Holy Ghost came. You yielded to the Holy Ghost. Your business partner said, come on, we're going to tithe. And you yielded. You brought the life. Oh, it was scary. It was risky. But look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. And what you haven't seen yet is the treasures that you are laying in heaven, up in heaven. You are laying up treasures in heaven. Eye has not seen yet. But you know in your heart that you are doing things what God wants you to do. You're storing up. Some people are putting all their money in their pension. And we should have a pension. I'm not against the pension. But how's your spiritual retirement plan going? Are you just living for this world? No. Think above. We yield. Yieldedness will often lead to action. Jesus was yielded to the cross. He didn't want to go to the cross. He even said it. He sweated drops of blood. His disciples couldn't even pray with him. But he was wrestling. And he even prayed. He said, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But he knew in the end, he'd have to go. The Holy Spirit was there. And he yielded. You see, your yieldedness will lead to action. And unfortunately, for some people, there will be a price. For all of us, there will be a price. But it doesn't stop there. He died. He rose again. And look at him today. He's back on the throne. And he's reaping so many other people around the world. Since the day he was resurrected, since the day the church was birthed, since the day the Spirit of God was poured out, he trusted the Holy Spirit and he yielded. Though it wasn't easy, the results were there. Talk about Abraham, he yielded with Isaac, the son of promise. He yielded. Took him 3 days. Maybe it was a one-day walk. I don't know. Maybe he could have done it in half an hour, but maybe he just walked very slowly because he's wrestling with this. But the Holy Spirit was there. This is how you keep the fire of God alive. And he yielded. He yielded to the Word of God. You see, many exercised yieldedness. The promise finally came. Mary and the virgin birth, her reputation, her husband's trust, her social ruin. A woman who had been in an engagement, now all of a sudden would be pregnant. She'd be the talk of the town. Isaiah and his calling. Paul on the road to Damascus while he's busy killing Christians. Now he has to deal with this. Who's this? Who are you, Lord? He had to yield Esther to the king. She could lose her life, but she had chosen by the Holy Spirit to yield to the Word of God. But then God goes and meets them in it. He provides a ram for Abraham. He gives Jesus resurrection power from the dead. God allows them to step into a powerful calling. She carries a Savior. He opens up for revelation. There's so much that our yieldedness opens up in our lives. Keep the fire of the Holy Ghost alive in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Place your hand on your heart with me this morning. And pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, baptize me afresh with your fire. Thank you for the scriptures to be fuel to my fire. Baptize me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with your fire, that I may be a yielded vessel and carry the fire and the torch for you, Lord, in my day, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you believe that, just say amen. Amen. That's it. And you see God move in your life, in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, the word of the day is yielded. Yielded. Keep the fire of God alive in your life. You need to learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. This is not some spooky, impossible thing. This is very practical. This is very real. And the results will be very evident in your life. As we close the service, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody moving. Please respect this time in God's house, in His presence. You're sitting here today and you don't have the assurance of salvation. You don't know that you know that you'll go to heaven if you were to die today. Maybe there's been a wrestling in your heart for years, but you've never yielded to the truth. You've never responded. You've never acted upon God's conviction of the Holy Spirit. Not condemnation, but conviction. There's a knocking on the door of your heart today. And if you're honest with yourself, you're not right. And that's why you're here today. That's why the preacher is preaching and giving every person the opportunity to make right, to repent, so you can be saved. There's a reward to yielding. There's a blessing connected to us, to our surrender. You don't want to play with this. Salvation is a free gift. You can never earn it. You don't have to first get your life right. Many people say, one day I'll do it when I'm older, once I've had all the fun. One day when I've got my life together, then I will respond. No, you have to come as you are. You have to come in your sin, in your state of confusion, in your state of rebellion. You just have to surrender. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. The Holy Spirit present here today. There's a stirring in your heart. You say, Pastor, please pray with me today. I'm ready to yield to Jesus. Then I want you to please be bold and be unashamed and forget the person next to you and just slip up your hand on the count of three. There's a stirring in your heart. You know God is calling you. Please allow me to pray with you in a simple prayer that I prayed 25 plus years ago. One, two, three. Just slip it up. Thank you. Donkey. God bless you. Donkey. Amen. In the middle, there's a stirring in your heart. Come on, just slip it up high. You're in a safe place. This is called the house of God. This is His house. You can come forward today. You can make a stand. Thank you. There's a willing in your heart. There's a wrestling in your spirit once you submit to God calling you today. There's a new beginning. There's a journey. There's a life. There's a spiritual inheritance for you. Come on, Dad. Come on, man. Your family's waiting for you to lead them spiritually. I'm speaking to you today. Please slip up your hand. Raise up your hand, sir. Come on, ladies, ma'am, whoever you are today, if that is you, please, won't you raise your hand as well in Jesus' name. Slip it up high, boldly, unashamedly. One last time you haven't raised your hand. Maybe you once served God. You were like the prodigal. You went away from God, but today you want to come back. You want to start again. Please, won't you then please raise all your hands right across this place. God bless you. God bless you. The presence of God is here today. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Won't you all look at me, please? There were many of you that raised your hands. Thank you for inviting your friends, your loved ones. Your encouragement will help them make a right decision today. So please, don't be shy now. You're in the house of God. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. Don't be shy. Don't be intimidated. Right across this place, all you beautiful people, can you please stand to your feet? If you're able, please stand. Kan ons almal staan? We're going to sing a beautiful song, and as we sing a song and you raised your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have. I'm going to ask you to please make your way to the nearest aisle and come and meet me at the altar, the place of surrender. I want to pray with you. Please, just come. Just come. Just come. Just come out of your seat. Kom uit jou stoel uit asseblief. Come. Come. Say, if you want to go, go with me. Standing here today, while everybody is standing, I'm going to ask you one question. If you are saved, you're born again, and you know that you will go to heaven if you die, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not based on your works, but on the finished works of the cross, you know the Holy Spirit bears witness in your heart. You either know it or you don't know it. You can't I think so, maybe. No, you either know it. This is truth. You either know it, that you are so convinced that there's zero doubt. Jy is gered. You are born again to the bone. You know that you know. Then I'm going to ask those people who know that they know, please take your seat. The rest of you remain standing if you're not sure. Can I ask all of you beautiful people that are still standing, can you please come to the front? We're going to cheer you on, please. It's not to embarrass you. Come on, take your neighbor by the hand that's still standing and just come. Please, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your boldness. Come. Thank you. Thank you. Just come, just come. Every person's decision today. Thank you for coming out.
No other name can heal your heart. No other name but Jesus.
Yes. Amen. What a great presence of God in the house this morning. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge you. You're alive. Don't tell me God's not alive. You might not see the wind, but you can see the impact of the wind. You wonderful people, please place your hand on your heart if you can. Because this is a heart, faith is a function of the heart. It's not intellect, it's faith. Your gees, your heart. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. It's your prayer. Just say this with me. Mix your faith. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I repent of all my sins. And I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior. You are the Son of God. You came from heaven to die on a cross. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father resurrected you. Today I publicly declare with faith that I belong to you and I choose you to be my Savior and my Lord. I receive this free gift of salvation. From this day forward, I'm a child of God and I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Come on, give them a big...